Anyway, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Cross Talk Sanctuary Congregation outside the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 30, 2017. On this 8-8-2021, we're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go. Mountains high, over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front, my young lovely of me. If I still for voice he told, the paths I do not know. I said to you with my hand in mine, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear young, over mountain or plain or sea. Say what you want me to say, dear young. I'll be what you want me to be. Perhaps today their loving words, which Yahshua would have me speak. There may be now in the path of sin, some wanderer whom I should see. O Savior, if thou wilt be my God, though dark and rugged the way, a voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go, dear young, on a mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear young, I'll be what you want me to be. There's surely somewhere a lonely place, in earth's harvest field so wide, where I've been able to last a day, for Yahshua they'll crucify. So trust in my all unto thy care, I know thou lovest me. Do the will with their hearts and say, I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear young, or a mountain, a plain, or a sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear young. I'll be what you want me to be. Wheat and barley each for a penny. In our study of the seven seals, we reserved for the future explanation of the following scripture. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. Okay, what is that? Revelation 6:6. Again, we turn the reader's attention unto the fact that the voice came from the throne. See chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, the price of the seals is fixed by the great judge. There must be something of the great importance in these symbols. For the great Yahweh himself is speaking. What could it be? Weymouth's translation reads as follows. A whole day's wage for a loaf of bread. A whole day's wage for three barley cakes. Weymouth translates the penny as a day's wage. We believe that the words of Yahshua justify this. For the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Matthew 20, verse 1 and 2. The penny is the fixed day's wage by the householder of the vineyard. Note that the barley is but one-third the price of the wheat. In other words, one goes to the field and gathers only one measure of wheat and receives a full day's pay. But the other, who works all day, gathers three measures of barley and receives no more than a day's wage, a penny. The symbols have a very close connection with the parable given by the Yahshua. Therefore, let the reader concentrate on the subject, for here is a truth worth our earnest attention. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way, and again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? So apparently he went out at the end of the day, on this 11th hour. So it would also indicate the end of the 11th parabolic hour coming to a close as well. Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Matthew 20, verse 3 to 7. For the householder in the parable has reference unto Yahweh the Father, for the parable is for the revealing of the kingdom of the heaven. Therefore, the vineyard is in the world, and because the vineyard is the Seventh-day Adventist Church in this parable today. So, therefore, the vineyard, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is in the world. And those sent to labor in the vineyard are the Seventh-day Adventists as well. So what are they called? It was hired out at the marketplace, and they were sent into the vineyard, back into the Adventist Church. In other words, they are members of the Adventist Church, but because they lift up their voices against the false doctrines being taught in the Adventist Church, the leaders and the people drove them out of the Adventist Church, and they ended up in the marketplace looking for employment, another vineyard to work in. And so when the good man Yahshua came, and he found him standing idle in the marketplace, and he asked him, Why are you standing here idle? They said, Well, because no man hath hired us. In other words, while we were in the vineyard, they turned us out. They said, We don't need you anymore. And so we've been out here in the marketplace. We're looking for somebody to come along and hire us. And so Yahshua says, Well, I'll hire you. You just go to work also in the vineyard. Okay, now the Adventist Church has its presence in all nations. And the world is also called the field. Or it's the same thing as a vineyard. In other words, members of the Adventist Church are supposed to be employed to go work in their field of endeavors, wherever people are at in the world, they are to be go and work for. For the parable cannot refer unto one literal day of the 12 hours. How do you get that? So when it says 11, it means just that. We're dealing with the 11th hour and not the 12th hour on the parabolic time clock. So therefore, by that we know, since Yahshua said there's 12 hours a day, John 11:9, then we know then that he is saying that you're working in the 11th hour. And the reason why he told him to go back into the vineyard, go to work at the end of the 11th hour, he says, now go you also into the vineyard. But there had to be at least one more hour, a parabolic hour left on the time clock to work, or he would have come out and hired him at the end of the 11th hour. And he says, go, because he said the day was just about coming to a close on the 11th hour. So if the 11th hour was the last hour, well then why would he call this fifth group of laborers at the end of the 11th hour and says, well, why are you standing here idle? Well, if there wasn't any more hours to work, they would have said, well, the end of the day draws nigh and there's no more time to work because there's no more daylight. No, he said, there's 12 hours in a day. He said, now you go also into the vineyard. In other words, he says, hard at the 11th hour. And he says, you go to work in the morning at the beginning of the 12th hour and work this last hour. Does that mean that they're going to work with those that have fired them in the 11th hour? No. It just means that Yahshua has cut those 11th hour people off and brought them to their end, and he hired a new people to work in his vineyard in the 12th hour, so those that were standing idle, that had been fired out of the vineyard the day before, they got rehired and they were sent into the vineyard to work the next morning in the 12th parabolic hour. So those that was fired now becomes the leaders of the 12th parabolic hour. Alright, so for the parable cannot refer to one literal day of the 12 hours into which Yahweh had made five calls for the laborers in the vineyard world. For there is no record where Elohim raised five congregations, organizations in one day and had them operating all at the same time. Therefore he calls, the call in the parable must extend over a period of the world's history in the connection with the Seventh-day Adventists, spiritual Israel of today. In that period, Yahshua allegorically compares unto a 12-hour day, and to which he hired laborers on the five different occasions. If we can locate the time under which each one of these calls refer, then we shall fully comprehend the lesson and the time in which we are living. We shall endeavor to prove that the parable has reference to the wheat and barley, each for a penny. And note that the householder bargained only with those he hired first. Also note that they went to work in the morning. He hired the laborers at the five different intervals. Four of them were 3 hours apart, but the fifth and last call was only 2 hours later than the fourth, which was at the 11th hour, just 1 hour before sunset. So, without thinking, a person read it this way, they'd say, well, The 11th hour. Okay, so the 11th hour is the last hour of the day before sunset. That's exactly where that's written. That's why Vitihara should not even get the parabolic time talk after it. He's right here to the left of this page I just read, this information on. I'm looking at the 24-hour parabolic time clock, and he starts the day with number 12. Well, the 12 is your last hour of the day, and he starts the day with number 12. So when the sun goes down, then the clock reads 1 o'clock. It reads the first hour of the night has just begun, instead of the end of the 12th hour. The one would be right, but the thing is that one is already evolved into 1 hour into the night before it's ever even counted. In other words, the one is should be where the 12 is at, showing that the sun went down at the end of the 12th hour and starts the beginning of the 12-hour night with the number 1. So that's why even Vitihara had the greatest light on those five groups of labors in Matthew 20, hard at the five different intervals, the first hour, the third, the sixth, the ninth, and the 11th hour. He got it all right on all five of those laborers that worked at those parabolic times. But he got them all starting their day with the last hour that went before. And so, therefore, he was always an hour behind. So when it comes to the end of the parabolic day, he said, well, the 11th hour marks the last hour of the day. No, the 11th hour marks the 11th hour of the day. And then when you come to the end of the 11th hour, then number 12 marks the 12th and last hour of the day. So that 1 hour difference, folks, makes all the difference in the world on interpreting any of these parables. Okay, note that the householder bargained only with those he hired first. Also, note that they went to work in the morning at the first hour, I added that. He hired the laborers at the five different intervals. Four of them were 3 hours apart. Now it says four of them were 3 hours apart. See, here's another mistake Vitihara made. Three of them were only 3 hours apart. Because the fourth one had a 2 hour interval. That was for the Seventh-day Adventists, 1844. They were allotted the 10th and the 11th parabolic hour. And in that fifth group, hard at Matthew 20, verse 6, the last group, hard at the end of the 11th hour, worked in the last parabolic hour. So you have two parabolic hours, periods, and that last three-hour segment. And that was your number four. But Vitihara says, that four of them were 3 hours apart. Well, okay, let's count them. The first early morning laborers started at 1 o'clock in the 1 o'clock, the first hour of the daylight, with Moses and children of Israel, and they had the first three parabolic hours. And third parabolic hour came to an end at the crucifixion of Yahshua, and so whenever he resurrected, went back to heaven, that closed out the third hour. And so the disciples then took up their work to continue Yahshua's work and the kingdom of grace here on earth that was set up by Yeshua with the 12 apostles. And they went to work in the fourth parabolic hour, the beginning of the fourth parabolic hour. So that was your second group of laborers. So they had number 4, 5, and 6. Your second group of laborers had those three parabolic hours, 4, 5, and 6. And then you had that third group of laborers, is William Miller and Company. They were called at the end of the sixth hour, and they worked the 7th, 8th, and 9th hour from 1833 to 1844. And then as soon as the Adventists were called on scene at the end of the 11th hour, that belonged to Miller, the ninth hour. The ninth hour belonged to Miller. It ended in 1844. Ellen G. White owns the 10th hour exclusively for the Seventh-day Adventists. That's all. That's all Ellen G. White, the first two feeding pastors, Basin and Carmel, they only own the 10th parabolic hour. They worked from 1844 to 1970. And then Verlis Johnson, the third group of laborers, part of the fourth group of laborers, the Adventists, he was called to have the 11th parabolic hour, starting with this beginning. And as soon as the 11th parabolic hour was over, then that closed out your two parabolic hours for the fourth group of laborers called Seventh-day Adventists. From 1844 to 2002, with 158 years, was allotted for the 10th and the 11th parabolic hour, exclusively for the three different groups of classes of Adventists that worked in those 2 hours. Okay, so that was Ellen G. White, B.T. Holliff, and Verlis W. Johnson, were the three exclusive leaders of those three main feeding pastors, Basin, Carmel, and Gilead. And they worked in the 10th and 11th parabolic hour, and as soon as that 11th parabolic hour was over, that was the end of Verlis Johnson and Gilead Center. I know, because I was there for 33 years. I helped close and bring to a close Gilead Center. Four of them were 3 hours apart. Supposed to say three of them were 3 hours apart. That's a typo. Okay, but the fifth and last call was only 2 hours. No, your fifth and last call was only 1 hour, and that was the 12th hour. You see what we're talking about? So I just corrected all of that right there. Three 3 hour periods. And one 2 hour period and 1 1 hour period. 3, 2, and 1. Okay, it says, for the ancient time clock, well, let's back up a bit. Note that the householder bargained only with those he hired first. Also note that they went to work in the morning, first hour of the day, starting with the Moses and Son of Israel, for he hired the laborers at the five different intervals over a 3,500 year period of time, starting in 1500 B.C. Okay. Three of them were the 3 hours apart, but the fifth and the last was only 1 hour, and the one before that was a 2 hour period for the fourth group. Later than the fourth, which was at the end of the 11th hour, just 1 hour before sunset. Well, the hour before sunset is the 12th hour, and it's the harvest time of Earth's history. And that's time for the judgment of the living. That's time for the resurrection of the dead. And that's time for bringing this earth to a close. You've got to have judgment. You've got to have selecting the remnant, and then they got to empower them to be a part of the resurrections with Yahshua, resurrection pure back to Adam. We got quite a thing here in this 12th parabolic hour. We got quite a thing to accomplish. For the ancient time clock, fearing that some may not understand the ancient time clock, we feel a brief explanation may be necessary. To make it more comprehensive, we call the reader's attention unto the chart, page 22, and the days of Yahshua, and even now in some countries, time is regulated by the sunset at 12 o'clock. Okay. Now here's something needs to be corrected here. In the days of Yahshua, and even now in some countries, time is regulated by the sunset at the end of the 12th daylight hour, near the equator, where the days and the nights are continually equal. The sun sets at 12 and rises at 12. So the sun sets at the end of the 12th hour, and it rises at the end of the 12th hour of the night to start the first hour of the daylight for the next day. Therefore, 6 o'clock would be noon, would be the noon hour and the light part according unto the chart, and at 6 o'clock in the dark part would be midnight. This is the kind of time Yahshua used in the parable. Therefore, the first call unto the one within the household agreed for a penny a day would have been at the 12 o'clock. See, here's another correction I have to make. It should read, would have been at the 1 o'clock, beginning of the first hour, sunrise. For the second call, at the end of the third hour, is just 3 hours after the sunrise. For the third call, at the end of the sixth parabolic hour, would be at the noonday in 1833. So it would be at the end of the noonday hour, the sixth hour call. For the fourth interval, at the ninth hour, at the end of the ninth hour, would be 3 hours after the noon hour, or 3 o'clock by the modern time. For the fifth call, 2 hours later, at the end of the 11th hour, would be at 5 o'clock according unto the present time, and just 1 hour before the sunset, at the end of the 12th hour. With the previous explanation of the Revelation 6:6, a measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny, we shall endeavor to prove that the symbols point back unto the parable of the householder, and Yahshua allegorically looked forward unto John's vision. If the explanation perfectly fits the parable, and the vision is in harmony with the Elohim's book and law, and a present truth lesson is derived therefrom, then only must be accepted as the truth. The morning call, first call, Matthew 20, verse 1 and 2. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that went, that is an householder, that went out early in the morning to hire laborers and to his vineyard. And when he had agreed to labors for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Yahshua could have no reference unto any other people than Israel after flesh. For they are the ones with whom Elohim bargained and sent into his vineyard. World. Their labor consisted of the misrepresenting, or consisted of the representing of the Creator or a householder, and giving us the scriptures. Well, I think we can do better than that. It says, for they are the ones with whom Yahweh bargained and sent into his vineyard, world. He's got hyphen in the hyphen between vineyard and world. That hyphen means that the prepositional phrase belongs in between those two words. So let's read that again. For they are the one with whom the Yahweh bargained and sent into his vineyard in the world. For their labor consisted of the representative of the Creator or the householder. The householder is actually Yahshua, and he is the co-creator of this world, and giving us the scriptures. For the psalmist has made the following record of the agreement. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded unto a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and unto Israel for an everlasting covenant. Psalms 105:8-10. For the covenant was made with Abraham, which is only a promise unto him and his seed. But Abraham obtained not the promise, his oath unto Isaac. That is to say, Yahweh solemnly declared that he will carry out his agreement. But Isaac, even as his father, obtained not the promise. He confirmed the same unto Jacob. That is, he administered, settled, or established it. For the covenant made with Abraham was realized by the Jacob as a law. And then to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Hence Israel received the promise. Therefore it was Israel that went to labor in the vineyard. After they departed from the Egypt, according unto the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of the Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear you not. Haggai 2:5. Isaiah speaks of the vineyard, which in itself was a symbol of the world. Isaiah 5. And he says, Isaiah speaks of the vineyard, which in itself was a symbol and was the past tense, and that's no good. Let's read that again. For the Isaiah speaks of the vineyard that within itself is a symbol of a field of the Israel in the world. Isaiah 5:7. And what does that say? For the vineyard of the Yahshua of the host is in the world. Therefore the householder's early hour called for laborers in his vineyard. Applies unto the call of Israel out of Egypt. Why is it called early in the morning? At that time, Moses was writing the Bible, which is the light of the world. Let's read that again. At that time, Moses is writing the Holy Scriptures, that is has the light of the world, the spiritual light of the world. Therefore, very early, for the scriptures had just begun to be written, thus the period since the scriptures came in is called the day. And the very early hour would be the first hour of the day, according unto the parable, which signifies that the written word of Yahweh is as the spiritual light of the world. Okay, it says second call and the third hour. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Matthew 20, verse 2. For the wage agreed upon between the parties is the promise of the Elohim unto Israel. And he went out about the third hour, saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way, Matthew 20, verse 4. Having established the first call, it would not be difficult to determine the second. Note that these were not of the same company, but others who were idle. If not Israel, then it can only be the apostles and the Gentiles in the beginning of the apostolic era, as recorded in the Acts 13:46. Then the Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of the Yahweh should first have been spoken unto you, that seeing you put it from you and said yourselves unworthy of the everlasting life, lo, we turn unto the Gentiles. Note that there was no bargaining with the second company. They went having the confidence in the good man that they would receive whatsoever was right. For the call of the Gentiles is not based upon any special agreement. For they responded trusting in the Elohim's generous promise unto Israel as it was recorded in the scriptures. Therefore the call of the apostles and the Gentiles is represented by the third hour call. The sixth and ninth hour call. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise, Matthew 20 verse 5. Each of the calls being at the interval extending over the entire day. It is evident that they must come one after another at the different periods. On each occasion there must be a call, message. If so, it cannot be merely a call of the Reformation, obedience unto a former message. Therefore, the Reformation by the Luther could not be considered here, for it was only a revival unto the message delivered before his time. Said the Luther, the just shall live by the faith and the blood of the Yeshua. I added the word the, and in the blood of the Yeshua, I added all of that. So I added seven words that gave you the complete sentence and gave you the full meaning of what that word faith means. For the just shall live by the faith and the blood of the Yeshua. Knox Wesley and Campbell could not enter into the parable, for they too had only a call for the Reformation, obedience unto the message doctrine delivered unto the Gentiles. The early apostolic congregation of the Nazarene Creed Now, the Nazarene simply meaning talking about Yahshua and the creed that he set up. And the reason it's called a Nazarene creed is because he set up the sanctuary system, patterned after the law of Moses, without the sacrifices. But on the holy days, 70 holy days in 1 year, Yahshua set the apostles up on that foundation. 52 seventh-day Sabbaths and 12 new moon Sabbaths and 6 annual feasts, making a total of 70 holy days and 1 calendar year. For the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, Brother Knox Grace, Brother Wesley, and baptism through the immersion, Brother Campbell, were taught by the apostles. We shall present further proof from another angle. For the showing of the above stated reformers are not included in the parable. As Israel and the Gentiles in the first and second calls comprise Elohim's congregation in the vineyard, and then the third, fourth, and fifth calls must represent the congregation in the vineyard as well. We turn the reader's attention unto the woman with the crown of the 12 stars, Revelation 12, 1, 6, and 14. She being a symbol of the congregation of Israel, was given the wings of an eagle to fly into the wilderness for the 1260-day years, or days. Therefore, while she was in the wilderness for 1260 days, years, therefore, while she was in the wilderness, there could have been no house of Israel in the vineyard. Okay, now, you see, you can't have it both ways. You can't have the vineyard representing the house of Israel, representing a field in the world, a working place in the world, belonging to the house of Israel, and have the vineyard a world. All right, let's read that again. Therefore, while she was in the wilderness, there could have been no house of Israel and the vineyard, as it's written here. Now, everything outside of Jerusalem was considered the land of the Gentiles. So, geographically, everything outside the borders of Israel is the Gentile world. Everything inside the borders of Israel is called the vineyard. So that's another concept we need to think about. For the long prophetic period has been fixed and accepted to be the period from 538 AD to 1798 AD. Therefore, during the long wilderness journey of the woman, there can be no call for the laborers in the vineyard. Thus, the three and last calls in the parable must have met their fulfillment after 1798, at which time the woman was to return from the wilderness. Consequently, the following question is asked. If the church woman was in the wilderness between the years 538 and 1798, in which period the above stated reformers did their wonderful work for the bringing about of the Reformation by the obedience unto the Scriptures, were they not called out and sent by the Yahweh? Answer, surely they were. There can be no doubt about it, for their work, character, and sacrifice answer the question. Think of the Luther, the father of the Protestantism, who risked his life like those of the Yahweh's great servant in the past. Yahweh, by the hand of Luther, tore asunder the doors of darkness, brought an end unto the terrible persecution and bloodshed of the saints and of the Most High, and caused the light in his written word to shine unto the hearts of the men. Had it not been for the earnest and zealous efforts of these righteous reformers, the woman church would have been in the wilderness until this day. In other words, the wilderness is where we locate the Gentile world outside of the boundaries of Israel until this day. And there would have been no Protestantism. Thus, their unselfish service broke the power of despotism, and by the imprisonment of the Pope, terminated the long prophetic period. Therefore, Elohim, through the service of these men, was to bring the woman church from the wilderness and prepare the way for the third call at the sixth hour. For the call of the sixth, ninth, and eleventh hours must be singular, and that of the preceding one, made by a special message, preached for the first time, which would have made it necessary on each occasion for another company, laborers, for the nature of these messages also must have been worldwide, for they were sent into his vineyard world. For the third call, therefore, represented by the sixth hour, must have come sometime after 1798 A.D., at which time the woman was due to return. Just as the message was presented unto the world after A.D. 1798 and prior unto A.D. 1844, in a preaching by the William Miller of the 2300 days of the Daniel 8:14, therefore the message by the Miller was represented by the company hired at the end of the sixth hour. Likewise, Matthew 20, verse 5, note that these words closely associate the sixth and the ninth hour call. So William Miller, he owned the three parabolic hours between the sixth and the tenth parabolic hour. He owned the seventh, eighth, and ninth calls, while the others calls are separated. The significance is that these two messages, represented by the sixth and ninth hour, are to be closely joined unto each other. Therefore, the ninth hour call must come after the Miller's work came unto an end. But it was a sanctuary truth, and the investigated judgment preached since 1844, bound in the first, second, and third angels' messages of the Revelation 14:6 to 11. Therefore, the three angels' messages constituted that call in 1844. The 11th hour call. For the 11th hour call is the last on the record. Now, that's your last call, Matthew 20, verse 6, but it's not the last hour on the parabolic time clock, only the last call. And that last call comes at the end of the parabolic 11th hour. And only an hour before the sunset, at the end of the 12th hour, millennium. So now here, Vicki Heller says, for the 11th hour call is the last on record, and only an hour before sunset, hyphen, millennium. Well, this is true. When the sun goes down at the end of the 12th parabolic hour, then you're looking at the beginning of the millennium. For the time for its deliverance unto the for the world is shorter than any universal message ever given. Though the time is the shortest, its era area over the Earth's surface is more expensive than any, but its speedy delivery is of the highest importance, for by it shall the world be judged. The Elohim servant shall have no time or desire for the cares of this world, for there is a city prepared for them whose builder and maker is Yahweh. As we have just enough time to get ready for the translation, we must not let the enemy steal our precious moments, because the work is so broad, its expansion so vast, and its importance so great. Yahweh has inspired modern science to invent and build speedy equipment to quickly finish his work. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book even unto the time of the end, and it shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Daniel 12:4-10. For the evidence in the Yahshua's parable plainly reveals another call for the laborers into the vineyard. So now into the vineyard, between the one in 1844 and the millennium, namely at the end of the 11th hour. This being true, why is it that the movement call out at the end of the 9th hour in 1844 has not, so that's the Seventh Day Adventist, has not forewarned the house of Israel that there were there is more truth to follow and another message call to come, as Yahweh neglected to give the warning and left his people in the darkness? We answer the question by the quoting of the following testimony. In view of that great day, the word of Yahweh in the most solemn and impressive language calls upon his people to arouse from their spiritual lethargy and to seek his face with repentance and humiliation. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Verse 3:11. Well, actually, that should be Joel 2:15 as well. Then I saw another mighty angel commissioned for the descending unto the earth, for the united his voice with the third angel, and give power and force unto his message. This message seemed to be an addition unto the third message, joining it as the midnight cry joined the second angel's message in 1844. Again, we read, be assured that there are messages to come from the human lips with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Cry aloud, spare not, show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. Testimonies, Ministers, page 296. Another message of the warning and instruction was to be given the church, the Great Controversy, page 425. Prophecy must be fulfilled, for the Yahweh says, behold, I will send you the Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Yahweh, or the Yahshua. Somebody is to come in the spirit and power of the Elijah. And when he appears, men may say, you are too earnest, you do not interpret the scriptures in the proper way. Let me tell you how to teach your message. Testimonies of the Ministers, page 475. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet for the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, Malachi 4:5. Has not Yahweh through the spirit of the prophecy as well as by the scriptures plainly forewarned his people that they must expect messages at any time? As never before, we should pray not only that laborers may be sent forth into the great harvest field, but that we may have a clear conception of the truth, so that when the messengers of the truth shall come, we may accept the message and respect the messenger. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, page 420. If the warning has been given, why have men from the pulpit so persistently close their eyes unto the word, or unto the word of the Most High, and open their mouths unto speaking fables unto their congregation? Father declaring that they have all the truth and need neither message nor prophet, has not this lying and hypocrisy paved the way for a wholesale deception in the congregation by the strengthening of their confidence, and that they have need of nothing and are on their way to heaven? Think of the prejudice and false security the message will have to break through. Think of the loss of the life if the people should accept the decision of the leaders. Has not just such a terrible trap of the deception ensnared the people of Yahweh in every movement called forth? Confidence in the leaders and the acceptance of their decisions without investigation has deceived the people in every age. What will change the course now? How terrible the thought and how great the responsibility. May Yahweh help His people to search for the light and truth for themselves, and may their zeal demand an explanation and account of these things. What is the message? For the 11th hour message is none other than Revelation 18. Well, the 11th hour message that Brother Johnson gave in the 11th hour conversation of 1970 to 2002 was not the Revelation 18 angel, because that's the angel that comes down and lightens the whole earth with his glory. And that takes place in the 12th hour, not the 11th hour. So here's another correction I have to make. The loud cry of the third angel, according to Testimony of Ministry, page 59. The same message, the third angel, is to be proclaimed the second time. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and that's your Revelation 18:1. And the earth was lightened with his glory. This message is the last that will ever be given unto the world, and it will accomplish its work. The Great Controversy, page 390. And the first day of this hour, we're going to close now with a song entitled, Open My Eyes That I May See. Open my heart that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall untwist and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready my God, I will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth ascend as clear. And while the wave notes fall on my head, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready my God, I will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with the children thus to share. silently now I wait for thee. Already, Maya, thou wilt see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit, let me fall.